Well, let me pray for us again as we get started and get ready to look at Acts chapter 2. Our Father, we are so grateful today, Lord, that your word tells us that because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that in his wealth, though he was rich, he became poor for our sake, that we could become rich in you. That though we were in poverty, we could be rich, Lord. And thank you that you stepped into our poverty and adopted us and made us your children and made us incredibly rich because we have the treasure of your presence. We have the treasure of your Holy Spirit in us today, God. And we are so grateful for that comforter and teacher and guide. God, we pray that as we look at your word this morning, help us to lean into you and to trust, Lord. You told us that the Holy Spirit will teach us. So, Lord, I trust you in that right now, and I pray, Lord, for all of us that as we hear the word of God, Lord, help us to understand. Help us to respond in faith, God. Help us to be guided by the power of your Holy Spirit in us. And we pray, Lord, help us not to sit in judgment over your word, but for your word to change us today. We pray your Holy Spirit would do what only you can do and bring glory to your name today through your word. It's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. I appreciate Mackenzie's prayer request about this messy, crazy world. It is a mess, is it not? It is. It is. I love the shirt that I saw. I think it was online, but it said, I'm not going outside today. It's too people-y out there. There's days I feel like that. You know, there's days that, and I'm part of the mess. You know, but it is it's a messy world. I'm so glad our God is so much greater than the mess. His grace is so much bigger than our sins. He is such an awesome God. Pastor Vance Havner, one of my heroes of the faith from a long time ago. I'd like to quote him this morning. Because Vance Havner believed, and we sang it earlier, and I hope you believed it as we sang it, we can make a difference in this world. God can build his kingdom here. He can set his church on fire with a passion by his Spirit. And he has given us an assignment to take the gospel message and the power of his Spirit to the world and to bring about change for his kingdom to be added to. And God can do it. I don't care what this world looks like. I don't care what anybody says. Our God is able. And I believe that. Pastor Vance Havner said, we're not going to move this world by criticism of it, nor by conformity to it, but by combustion within it, lives ignited by the Spirit of God. I believe that. I believe that because it's what I see in the Scriptures. It wasn't through social programs that the early church turned the Roman world upside down. It wasn't through better education systems. It wasn't through government. It was the Spirit of God and the people of God taking the Word of God to those around them, and it changed the world. God can do the same thing today. We can have a revival today. Do not give up praying for a revival. It is always in times that seem very dark. When the culture is even giving up on itself, it's always in those times of desperation that seem the darkest when the Holy Spirit says, okay, I think I've got your attention, and revival comes. Keep praying for revival. Keep praying for that, for God's glory. For God's glory, not for our ease or our comfort. In Acts chapter 2, we see the Spirit-filled church. The Spirit-filled church changing the world, certainly for the better, as they bring people to Jesus Christ. Acts 2 records an awesome historical event that happened that changed the church, that changed the world forever. There at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit coming. And of course, the Holy Spirit, you know, we read the Old Testament, we know from the Bible that in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was active and powerful, right? The Holy Spirit worked among the people of God, and the Holy Spirit would come in certain times and situations and even indwell in the Old Testament, but there wasn't that promise of remaining that the early church had, that the Holy Spirit would not only be given and the Holy Spirit would not only remain and empower the church, but would stay, would indwell us, would be with us forever, the presence of God with his people forever. Let me ask you this morning, do we need Jesus to be born again into this world as a baby? No. One time was sufficient. Do we need Jesus to go to Calvary again and to die on that cross again? No. One time was sufficient. Do we need Jesus to be resurrected, to come out of that tomb again? One time was enough. It is the same thing with Pentecost. One time was sufficient. God gave His Spirit to His church, and He hasn't taken back that promise that when we trust in Jesus, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. We'll start in verse 1. And I had really wrestled with reading this whole chapter, and I would love to, but I'm not going to for brevity's sake today. But you're going to, right? Amen? All right. God heard you. All right. Acts 2, starting in verse 1. The Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all gathered together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. It means languages. As the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard in their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans, Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues, in our own languages. Amazed and perplexed, they ask each other, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said they've had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11. He raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. This is from chapter 2 of Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Amen. What a difference the presence of God makes. What a difference the presence of God's Spirit makes. This morning we're just going to note four ways. We're going to recognize four ways that we share as a church, the results of the Holy Spirit being with us. And perhaps this first one is pretty obvious. We need to recognize that where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the presence of the Lord. He is here. He is here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the presence of the Lord. Our way-making, miracle-working, awesome, almighty God is here this morning. And wherever He is, He gives an awareness of the supernatural because He is a spiritual, supernatural God. We see that in the sound of the wind and in the tongues of fire. the power of Almighty God present with His people. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. God's Word says they began to speak, and people are hearing in their own languages. A miracle, something supernatural is happening here. And the crowd gathers, and they're amazed, they're bewildered at this. This is not an ordinary thing. And the Holy Spirit is not only coming and doing something amazing in this moment, but is here to stay from that point forward with the church. The Holy Spirit is entering into a new temple. A new temple, believers. Me and you. The church all around the world. The new temple of God. And the Old Testament, the tabernacle. Until the Spirit of God came, the tabernacle was just an empty structure. In Exodus chapter 40 and verse 34, it says, "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." The same with the temple. In 1 Kings chapter 8, the temple of Solomon was an empty building. And then it says in chapter 8, verse 10, "The cloud filled the temple of the Lord." And now today, beginning with that Pentecost 2,000 years ago, in these last days, in this church age, the Lord has filled a new temple. And that temple is the body of Christ. That temple is believers. And it is not a temple that is made of skins with tapestries like the tabernacle. It's not made of stone like the temple. But Christ, the Bible says Christ is the foundation. Christ is the foundation of His new dwelling place. And that believers are living stones, and that together we are inhabited by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. On that day of Pentecost, God said, "I give you myself permanently." Permanently, for the glory of God. And He indwells His church, not only individually, but He indwells us corporately. He indwells us as His dwelling place. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit to His disciples in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever." Not until you have a bad day and then sorry. Forever. "I will give you my Spirit forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him, because they do not see Him or know Him, but you know Him because He is with you and He will be in you," Jesus said. Paul, writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he said, "Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own." And the church collectively, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, "In Him the whole building," not just individual parts, "the whole building joined together rises up to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built up together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit." Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the presence of the Lord. There's a manifestation of His goodness, of His holiness, of His power, awareness of sin. That's what that mighty wind and the tongues represent. The presence of a holy God. And it is personal. And it is wonderful. And it's perplexing to people who don't know Him. A second thing to recognize this morning, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is power for evangelism. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is power for evangelism. You know what? Sometimes I get anxious about evangelism. Maybe I'm going to go do some street witnessing or what have you, or maybe the Lord's just prompting me to talk to that person in line next to me at Kroger, and I start getting butterflies and nervous. You know why that happens? Because I'm thinking it's up to me. Because I'm thinking I might say the wrong thing, or maybe I'm not going to remember something I need to say, or I'm going to, you know, whatever, and my eyes are not on the Lord, but God's Word tells us that where He is, there is power to share the gospel message. There are two different ways I want to recognize that today. First of all, for personal witnessing. Just before Jesus ascended back into heaven, He told His disciples in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you for what? To be my witnesses. To be my witnesses. Not to have warm fuzzies. Not to feel great in yourself or have some kind of emotional or spiritual high. You will receive power to be my witnesses. You're going to receive power to share the gospel message. For you to comprehend that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and the implications of that, and to communicate that in a meaningful way to somebody that they can come to Jesus Christ, that they can trust in Him. And we have the Holy Spirit to empower that, to make that happen. It's not of ourselves. We see there in verse 4 here in Acts chapter 2, all of them filled with the Holy Spirit began to speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit enabled them. And then verse 11, the people said, we hear them declaring the wonders of our God in our own tongues and languages, in our own languages. You know, we don't all necessarily have the gift of evangelism. I've known a few people over the years that have a gift of evangelism. But it's just amazing to behold how God works through them to connect with people in supernatural ways. But whether you have the gift of evangelism or not, you have the Holy Spirit. And it is the Holy Spirit who enables that witness. It's the Holy Spirit who draws people through the gospel. And we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to share the gospel message. There's also power in the Holy Spirit for preaching. Now, preaching is not, a lot of people get confused about what preaching is. It is not a public, I don't know, it's not just public speaking. It's not just a form of oratory that's just different from other forms of human oratory. It's not just a message with some truth in it. You know, I look at Scripture and I see examples in the Old Testament and the New Testament that I would say that's preaching. And whenever you see that, it is the Word of God being proclaimed, but not just by a gifted speaker. It's the Word of God being proclaimed in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's where nothing special about the person speaking, but they are emptied so that the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, can speak the Word of God to people. Proclaiming the Word of God to the people of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that every week because I'll tell you what I could bring up here is a whole lot of weakness. I've got that maybe mixed in with some sin. But it is our awesome God who remarkably shows up and enables His Word to be proclaimed in the power of His Spirit and received in the power of His Spirit. It's not because you're a great, if He touches your heart today and does something in your life, it's not because of you. It's because you have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has given you that aha moment and helping you to understand it. And you've heard that scripture a dozen times and you're like, wow, I get it now.
Yeah.
It's not because you got smart. It's because you surrendered a little more. And the Holy Spirit said, okay, I'm going to show you that. I'm going to teach you that. And you're hearing it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that every week, even as I pray for myself before I get up here, that God would actually use me to speak through me. I pray that He, in you, would open your ears and your eyes to behold Jesus through the Word of God. And to be changed by that, by the power of the Spirit in you. The preaching of the Word of God and the power of the Spirit. It's anointed. It's anointed by God. Verse 4 says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They were anointed. They had such a closeness with the Holy Spirit that it's just, the Holy Spirit's able in a powerful way to help them behold Christ, to know Christ. And to impart Christ to people who are ready to hear about Him. To communicate in meaningful ways. And hear and even in other languages. Their preaching was also bold and Christ-honoring. Bold and Christ-honoring. Verse 22 says, in Peter's address, fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth, Was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him? As you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Skipping down to verse 36, therefore let all Israel be assured of this, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Didn't pull any punches. Jesus, whom you handed over, bold preaching, Christ-honoring preaching, Jesus who is Lord and Messiah. And it had this beautiful impact that God intended it to have there in verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. People don't always need warm fuzzies. Or made to feel better, or even comfort sometimes. They were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the other apostles, what shall we do? Brothers, we are undone by this message. What will we do? What shall we do? And the Holy Spirit empowers that today in the preaching of His Word and through witnessing for people to see themselves as they are and hear the gospel message and know that there's a Savior who loves them, who died for them, that they can trust in, and the Holy Spirit can make them new. A third thing to recognize today in this passage, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there are times of harvest. Praise God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there are times of harvest. You know, Pentecost was called the Feast of the Harvest. They celebrated the summer harvest at Pentecost. Verse 41 says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Ever since that time. I mean, it is so beautiful what happened there at Pentecost, but it has not stopped. Ever since that time until this day, all over the world, we are in the church age. We're in a time where God, His presence, His Holy Spirit presence through His people, sharing the gospel message, and there's still a harvest happening today all over the world. People are coming to Christ. All over this community. In countries that where you would least expect it. I hear testimonies all the time coming from missionaries and people smuggling Bibles into places. But in China and in Korea, in Sudan, in Iran, Iraq, all over the world today, in South America, the gospel, the church is exploding in Africa right now. Even though there's extreme persecution for Muslims there in Africa, the church is exploding with growth, and there's a wonderful harvest happening there. Ever since Pentecost until this day, and continuing until Christ comes back, there is a harvest. The Holy Spirit is bringing people to Jesus. And a fourth thing to recognize today, where the Spirit of the Lord is, God has His way. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, God has His way. Look at the presence of God here in His church, starting in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. God has His way where His Spirit is. In the Spirit-filled church, God has His way. I'll note just a few ways that I see here today. God has His way in the atmosphere of the church. There is an awareness of the presence of Almighty God. There is an awareness that He is at work. And there's a reverence for Him. There's an awe at the presence of God. You can see it in their devotion there in verse 42, the awe that the people had for what God was doing in verse 43. God has his way in the activities of the church. Verse 42 says it was teaching. Verses 42 and 46, it was fellowship among the believers. It was breaking of bread. They had fellowship meals. They celebrated the Lord's Supper together. There was prayer. We see God having his way in the attitudes of the church. They were generous. They were united. There was oneness, oneness of spirit. There was gladness among the people. There was worship and praise for God, and there was favor. And God had his way in additions to the church. God was bringing people. You know, Jesus said, "I will build my church." He keeps his word. He is building his church. Continually. He never stopped. That construction project has continued, just like the one going on here. You know, sometimes it's messy. We were blessed with some folks who did some cleaning before we came here today. This place was a little bit of a mess a couple days ago. You know, sometimes we look at our own lives or we look at the church and we're like, man, I don't feel like a beautiful temple. Doesn't even look like we're beautiful. You know, there are times where things are a bit messy, but that doesn't change a thing, that God is still at work and he is adding. He is adding living stones. He's bringing people to himself. And there's a spirit of enthusiasm, a spirit of joy as we see people recommitting to Christ or committing to Christ for the first time. People even convicted of sins and feeling that godly sorrow that leads to repentance and putting their trust in Jesus. And one of the beautiful, beautiful things that we experience here on a regular basis is that sense of oneness with Christ and that sense of oneness with each other. You know, we talk about it, we describe it a lot of different ways about the fellowship here and the love here. And I love you all, but we didn't do it. It's His presence. It's His presence. And He gets all the glory for that. You know, one of the things with communion, we're going to celebrate communion this morning. And communion pictures so many beautiful things. But it's not just our oneness and connection with Him. It's also oneness we share with each other. With each other. That there is a connectedness in the body of Christ, having one spirit. I'm going to pray for us. And I'll read a little bit of scripture as we prepare our hearts this morning to celebrate communion together. And the worship team is going to come up and have a song for us to have a time of reflection. Let me go ahead and have George, if you would come up for the elements. And do you have somebody to help you this morning? Or okay. Yeah. We do have the gluten-free. Let the guys know if you need gluten-free. We've got that for you. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, our Father, Lord, we sang it earlier. We are your church, and we need your power in us. God, we recognize, we confess our weaknesses and our frailties. But even more than that, we confess that you are an awesome God. And we thank you, Lord, that you are sufficient for everything we need today. That we have your righteousness. We have your strength. We have your goodness. Lord, thank you for sending your Son. And by doing so, Lord, that you could give us yourself. And God, we pray in this moment, Lord, we know that we have all that we are ever going to need of the Holy Spirit, Lord, but we confess also that sometimes you don't have all of us. Lord, I need to decrease this morning. so that you can increase in me. Lord, I want you to saturate my heart with your presence, not just to have some of it, but to have all of my mind, all of my heart, all of my soul, God. And I pray that for my brothers and sisters today. Every thought taken captive for you. Every word glorifying and pleasing to you. Every action in alignment with your will. God, I want you to have all of me today. And God, we know that as that happens, you can do exactly what we prayed for as we worshiped you in song, Lord. You can set your church on fire. You can ignite us with your presence today. Lord, in this moment, have your way in your church. We want you to be glorified, Lord, in this time. Holy Spirit, work within us. Captivate our attention on Jesus. Free us up from every distraction. God, I pray for the miracle of self-forgetfulness. Help us to set aside anything that keeps us from worship, God. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and let me go ahead and read the scripture. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. And there is holiness, and there is goodness, and there is power, and there is oneness in the body of Christ. First Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23, the Word of God says, "For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This is the covenant,'" or the cup of the new covenant, "'in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this remembering me. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death.'" And I love this last phrase, "until he comes." He's coming back. He is coming back. We do this in remembrance of what he did, and that it is a complete work, that he did everything needed for your salvation on the cross. Amen. And we do this celebrating the fact that he is coming back. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 14 says, "By one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." One sacrifice. You can't add to it and you can't take away. We trust in what Jesus did this morning. And we look forward to the future whenever we participate in this time of communion, proclaiming his death until he comes. He's coming back. This is a time to remember what he did on the cross. This is a time to remember he's going to be here soon. That's wonderful news. Wonderful news. We look forward to his appearing. I'll give you this right now. Maybe as a little bit of a litmus test of if there's anything that you need to give to God to work in your heart today. Are you excited about his coming? Because if you're not, maybe something's a little off this morning. Maybe you're distracted a little too much. Are you excited about his coming? Are you looking forward to it? Continuing there in verse 27. "So then whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord." What's an unworthy manner? We need to have reverence. Our God is awesome. There needs to be a sense of awe of the Son of God today. And not only making sure that this connection is what it should be before we participate, but the connection to each other's right too. It'd be an unworthy manner for us to participate if we're harboring anything against a brother or sister this morning, and we need to let that be dealt with. He died not only to give us peace with God, but with each other. And he wants us to have that today. If there's anything that you need to address this morning with the body of Christ as well as with him, do that as well. We'll take time for that. And we'll go ahead and turn it over to the worship team. We'll have a time of reflection.
What an amazing mystery.